be seated. I have to admit, that's the first time I've ever sung that hymn. 380 years, I guess it was time to give it a shot. But let's pray. Lord, I pray and ask that you will either speak through me or in spite of me. In Christ's holy name, amen. I tell you, we all know the story about the 5,000 folk that was following Jesus around there on the countryside. But what's the story say? What's it about? What were the people's intentions? What were the people looking for? Were they hungry people? Were they unhappy people? Were they looking for an earthly ruler? Were they seeking miracles from Jesus, a healing from an illness? I think it's fair to say probably a good majority of them probably fell into these categories. Let's look and think about what did Jesus want at this point. Might be a little bit complicated. You know, his friend, cousin, John had just died. Maybe he was seeking a little bit of peace and quiet, maybe. Maybe a little bit of time to process, to reflect on the death of someone he cared about. But Jesus, there was something else that was tugging at the heartstrings there of Jesus. And he knew, in spite of it all, that he needed to continue to do the ministry that God had called him to, because God wanted him to be there with the people. God's desire is for Christ to be there to teach, to minister, to heal, to help those in need. And even then, after Jesus did all that and this crowd is following him around, you know he probably said, it's probably a good time to sneak in a sermon since we got 5,000 people here. But the problem was, all these people following Jesus around, there were those that were those faithful few, you know, those 12 disciples. And they didn't want to take on the responsibility of all these people that were seeking out the Messiah. They didn't want to feed everyone because it would be such a task. It cost so much money. It was easier instead just to close the doors to the sanctuary and lock them from the inside so no one else could get in. You know, in our lives as people here on earth, we often have to do things that we sometimes don't necessarily want to do at that time. Am I right? Have you ever woken up on Monday morning and says, I don't think I can or want to go to work today? We'd rather sit at home and either be alone or read a book or go sit down by the water and just watch the boats, go fishing, or do something relaxing like cutting the grass. I don't know. But heaven forbid I have to be social with people again in a work setting. But you know, growing up, we always went to church. Mom, Dad, my sister, sometimes my brother and me. And always, after church, we would go to Grandma's house that was right down the road from our house, and we had Sunday dinner. And typically, she had some kind of meat. It was usually chicken or pork. She always had biscuits, buttermilk biscuits. They were the most delicious thing ever. She usually had some kind of a veggie, but on the good Sundays, probably about once a quarter, she'd get steak. And that was a rare treat, but she always got ribeyes. I never really much cared for ribeyes. They were a little too fatty for me, so she always bought me a special steak. Anyone want to guess what kind it was? A New York strip. As I reflect upon my childhood, I'm starting to see the signs were there in place already. But we always had, and I always finished my meal with a warm biscuit and a glass of ice-cold lemonade growing up. Then move forward a few years, and it wasn't too long ago that I started ministry, only 448 weeks ago, but who's counting, right? So when I started up in Roscoe, New York at the United Church, it was January 2nd, 2010 was the first Sunday I was ever going to preach solo in my own church. Romy's family was visiting at the time, and we were living in Union, New Jersey, and we loaded everybody up in two cars, and we drove down to Myrtle Beach to spend Christmas with my family. Well, after Christmas, we drove back up all day on the 27th. Have y'all ever driven from the south to the north right after Christmas? It is awful. But we drove back up, and then on December 28th, we went to the Walmart there in Union, New Jersey, and cleaned up on the after Christmas sale. And we got home, and we were washing the new Christmas dishes that we got, and I got a call from home. Grandma had just died on December 28th. The next day, I was flying to Myrtle Beach. I think it was on Continental. Back when Continental existed, out of Newark, New Jersey, to Myrtle Beach on December 29th. December 30th, it was her, and actually her sister-in-law died as well on the same day. And we had the funeral that day. And December 31st, I was flying back. I was flying into LaGuardia coming back. On December 31st, have y'all ever flown into New York City on New Year's Eve? Wasn't thinking anything about it. It was a 9 a.m. flight, but it had a flat tire. So everybody got off of the plane, and I was the one sitting up in, it was a one-seat, two-seat plane, and I was in the first seat by the door. So I got out first, got in the line, and I said, I'm going to New York. I can fly into any airport or around the metro area, but there was nothing. And I says, how close can you get me? And she said, Philly. All right, let's do it. So we got on the plane, or I got on the plane to Philly, and as after I had boarded, they realized that no, it wasn't actually a flat tire on the plane, and so they reboarded everybody except for me, because I was already on the Philly-bound plane. And then we got to the end of the runway, and the pilot got on, and he's like, we got to burn a little fuel before we can take off. We're a little heavier than expected. And I wanted to say, is that a joke? So flew back up on December 31st, a journey that started at 9 o'clock in the morning. I got back to Union, New Jersey at 11 p.m. at night. On New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, I had to drive from Union to Roscoe, and the next day, January 2nd, I had to preach my first sermon in my first solo congregation. Needless to say, I didn't want to do it because I didn't feel I could at that point. I wanted to be alone. I wanted to think about Grandma. But it was that first Sunday. Y'all know what traditionally happens on a first Sunday in the United Methodist Church, don't you? We have communion. We have communion. So often there's times we say it's too overwhelming. I don't think we can do it. There's not enough hours in the day. I need another 5 hours of daylight to finish my task. I need an eighth day, God. Well, we have limits, thankfully. 7 days of creation, and on that seventh day, what did God do? That's a beautiful example. Reading in the Old Testament, harvesting in the fields, on the seventh year, what did they let that field do? They let it go fallow. 6 days of work, 1 day of rest, 1 day to give thanks to God, 1 to remember what God's given to us. And that is what God calls us to do because we've been blessed. We have our daily bread. In some way, shape, or form, we all get enough food to live on because, well, we're here and we're living. But Jesus did not want to be a substance feeder king, just supplying people with daily bread. Jesus wanted to be a fulfiller so that they would never hunger spiritually again kind of king. So after the news he got about John, he went without faltering back to doing God's work because with God all things are possible. It's possible to carry on despite being downtrodden because if God is with you, we know God's with us. God's reflected in each and every single one of us, so we know we're not going it alone. It's possible for our lives to change, whether great or small, to better ourselves with God's help. And that's the crucial part there, because we can't do it by ourselves, but only with each other and with God. Jesus lifted that fish and bread and gave thanks to God, and the food was abundant. There was 12 baskets left over. There was enough for each tribe of Israel to realize God's salvation. And Jesus remembered his calling right then and there to the people, and he brought them what they needed. Not just temporary relief from the trials of the day to day, like losing a grandparent so they could get back to work. Not just becoming someone who feeds people and keeps them happy, but instead someone who challenges those faithful few to take up the challenge. And now we sit here as those faithful that Christ challenged. We have the bread, it's sitting right there. We have all the gifts from God that each of us are blessed with. But do we shut the doors and say it's too overwhelming? Or do we take what we have and offer it to those gathered? For just as God healed, taught, helped, and ministered to people through Christ, we got to show people that Christ is in this place, that the vibrancy is here, it's true, and it's genuine, especially as we gear up for the ministries that's going to kick off this fall. Y'all surprised me. I got to say, usually summertime, it's kind of paltry, but man alive, the special music. This place has got something going on. Port Washington has something. The Methodist Church here in Port got something not many churches in the area have, and that's a group of kids here and a group of dedicated leaders and parents that are willing to rise up to the occasion and to teach them even through the summer months. They thought they was going to get a break this summer. Miss Diane, what do we say? No. She said, no, we're going to go right on through. So as we gear up for this fall, after Pastor Romy and I return from vacation, be ready to count your blessings, ready to continue or start to be or active with folk that's not in your age group. Be ready to tell your friends about this place, because we want to reflect the diversity of our great community here. You know, in New York State, most towns and villages are cutting school staff and closing and merging schools. Port Washington's adding on. That tells you something. That tells you that there's more families here in Port, so I expect to hear the little pitter-patters of feet up and down these hard floors in here. I expect to hear a baby coo or cry. Because when we're doing the work of God, all of God's people's going to respond. When we're doing the work of God, even those who are not part of this fellowship are going to see it and respond. So much so, the fishing trip that we're going to do in September, yeah, the one that was $40 for adults and $25 for kids, well, guess what? Because of the generosity of someone, now the kids are free for that fishing trip. Someone saw the goodness of God happening here and through the children's ministries and wanted to make a difference. And now we have the Ed Jackal Memorial Fishing Trip happening in September. God is not through with us yet. Amen? Amen. Thanks be to God.